Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your pension is with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie and find out more.
Education and Training Boards Ireland are hosting their annual conference today and tomorrow at Cork City Hall. Speaking at the conference will be John Lonergan, who's a writer and former governor at Mountjoy Prison, as you know, and James Leonard, one half of the Two Norries podcast and a youth and community worker. You're both very welcome to the programme, lads. James, I might start with you first of all. You might remind us about your own story and your path back to education.
Yeah, listen, thanks for having us and good evening to everybody listening. I suppose I'm from the north side of Cork City, a place called Knocknaheeny in Hollyhill Parish. And I suppose we'd score high on all the things we don't want to in terms of, you know, unemployment, lone parents, rates of prescribing antidepressants and stuff like that. So when you're growing up in it, I suppose we didn't look like we had much role models, you know. So for me to get involved in antisocial behaviour and joyriding and experimenting with alcohol and drugs was a very normal rite of passage for me. And that, I suppose, in the early years led to imprisonment and an escalation in the drug use, I suppose, developed into chronic heroin addiction. And with the grace of God, I was able to get into recovery in 2013 and start my education journey.
Yeah, because you were, James, basically following the path that was kind of set for you by your environment in a way, and by the grace of God, you say. And what other grace? How and why did you get back into education, I wonder?
Well, to be honest with you, I had a lot of self-limiting core beliefs about who I was, my place in the world, and what I could be. It wasn't until I met with some key people in some great NGOs and organisations that helped me to help instill a bit of belief in me that I had potential and I was worthy of being able to buy a home and drive a car and have a marriage and all these things that I thought was for other people, you know. So I suppose, and I had raw potential, but I never seen it in myself, because when you're an addict on the streets, you feel like you're not deserving of anything better. You need people to tell you that you're worthy and that there's something there for you. And I suppose a bit of personal development as well, therapy, and build up the confidence. And then dip the water in, try a little course, do this, do a level 3, went down to a level 5, then a bachelor's degree and the master's degree eventually.
Yeah. John, I might bring you in on that point that James is making. You know, this sort of sense from some people that they're not worthy of the education, or maybe a stigma around education in their own minds. How difficult is it to engage people when they're in prison to education?
It is pretty challenging, Sarah, because now, with every other element of it, another dimension to it is that the culture itself amongst the prisoner population is also anti-education or anti-progression. That applies to drug treatment as well. So the peer pressure is not to get involved rather than to get involved. So that adds to it. Then the embarrassment of it and the lack of motivation, a poor experience of particularly second-level education on the outside for a short period that the vast numbers spent in second level education, but it was generally a poor experience. You know, some research in Mountjoy in my time showed that only 6% of the prison population stayed at school after 16 years of age. That's a phenomenal figure, that only 6%. Mm. So their experience of second level education was very very poor as well. But again, you know, just to emphasise how important it is, generally I can say, you know, one person, one teacher or one youth leader or one football coach or one somebody, it will always be the person or the occasion that a person will change, because they have a connection with someone, they believe in that person, and the person believes in them, like James said. And once they get a little bit of encouragement and a little bit of self-belief, they begin to realise, I have an ability, I can do things that I never thought I could do. And of course, that is then self-motivating.
Yeah, and James's story is really like the ultimate success story, really, isn't it?
Well, James is a wonderful character.
Yeah.
Do
you see anything
man.
Like
I mean,
that
what
often?
What he has achieved is phenomenal.
It is absolutely phenomenal. What I'm wondering is, does he stand out alone, do you think, or do you see anything like other people achieving similar successes or successes along the same trajectory?
No, I did. I'm over the years myself. I did come across quite a significant number of people who turned it around. The problem, I suppose, is, and the great strength that James has above a lot of people I miss in prison, was that he is quite strong enough emotionally and psychologically and mentally to go out and speak publicly about his past. And because a lot of people want to hide their prison, you know, that part of life. I don't want to talk about it again. I want to hide, forget about it and move on. But James is doing far more courageous stuff because he's talking openly about where he was and how he came to be who he is now and the rewards of who he is now. And he's going to be inspirational. I know he goes in now to prison. I've no doubt, Sarah, that he is an inspirational figure in all prisons because prisoners will look up to him and they'll know that he's one of our own, but he has turned it around. And to be able to see somebody like that is very, very significant.
I might bring James back in there again, if I may. I've a good friend from Knocknaheeny, your part, James, and down the way in the north side, Shanachiel as well. And I met them in college, actually. But your message, actually, your key message at the conference, I think, is that education can take many forms. It doesn't have to be third level. It can take any form.
Exactly, because we have this kind of, I suppose, in society, we hear about people having bachelor's degrees and master's degrees and PhDs and kind of up on a pedestal. But I know a lot of people that would be, they'd have trades, or they might be labourers, or they might be homemakers. But what they're after overcoming in their lives to get to where they are is as good as any PhD or master somebody might have. Mm-hmm. And even outside of that, outside of like becoming like an employee and a contributor to society that way, some people, they might want to go down the personal development route. Do you know what I mean? They might want to just look after themselves. They might get to a stage where they're not in the throes of addiction and they have a balance on their mental health. Yeah, they mightn't have the degree and the apprenticeship like the other guy, but they're after improving their quality of life so much. So like success is very subjective, and you know, there's no like one metric for measuring it, you know.
And can come in many forms. Well, it's a tonic to listen to you both. I really mean that. James Leonard and John Lonergan, thank you very much indeed.